What a place full of tranquility. Tsunaga Shogo drifted between sleep and awakening, surrendering his mind and body to the untold comfort and peace he felt from the space around him. The warm, nostalgic space accepted everything about him. If he had memories of floating within the womb as a baby, they would perhaps be similar. However, this was not his mother's womb. He sensed another being nearby. It was without a doubt an element from the world he experienced after birth. Tsunaga opened his eyes and awakened, ascertaining the order he sensed before him. I thought it was you. Before him stood the figure he imagined. Her pomegranate eyes looked directly at him with their mysterious glow as if he was everything in the world to her. From the very beginning, you appeared before me because you were meant to. I had a feeling that was the case. The first witch Tsunaga ever met after coming to Kanto's pandemonium, Carol, nodded at his words. For 7 years, I waited for you to return to this sealed ring of fate without ever taking shape in this world. Strangely enough, Tsunaga wasn't surprised at Carol's answer. Consuming her and taking her within himself had laid the foundation for him to understand and believe. Please tell me who you are. Tsunaga had to know. That would reveal everything from 7 years ago and everything else over the past 7 years as well. What had he fought and lived for? That would be the judgment for his long, bloody journey. You should know that already. You just have to remember, because I've always been with you. Tsunaga nodded at Carol's words and wrenched open the heavy, rusty lid on his memories. His mind melted with a scene he could only face in nightmares, the final scene where he died as a human. And as his mind came back into focus, he saw the atrocious form of a faceless girl lying in a puddle of blood. Tsunaga understood. This was the accurate memory of that moment 7 years ago. It was playing back his raw, objective reality without any revisions. Everything at the core of his heart had collapsed, and his soul was already long gone, crushed with despair. Yet within the dark void, the eyeless sockets of the young girl looked up at him, and her broken, bloody lips moved. That. Those words etched into Tsunaga's soul as a curse were. Thank you. Those were her true words. They were not an expression of despair or resentment. They were an unmistakable expression of her heartfelt gratitude. In that living hell where everyone wounded and took from her, there was only one person who responded to her prayers for help. One person who allowed her to keep faith in her ideal vision of humanity and the world she wanted to believe in there at the final moments of her fading life. Those were the words she offered to the Savior whose face nor name she ever knew. Tsunaga was simply dumbfounded. He had definitely heard those words as a curse of despair and hatred directed towards himself. He had heard them as a final groan, blaming his powerlessness at not saving them, at his hypocrisy for drawing out the agony of that hell. But that's... If that were the truth, then why had he made such an impossible misunderstanding? Because... With everything that is pretty or beautiful in this world... It is always us humans that make them not so. Because that had been Tsunaga's own voice speaking to him, filled with despair from that hell. The beautiful proper way for humanity to be, virtue, bravery, compassion, mutual understanding. Such pipe dreams could only exist within people who possessed the richness of heart to believe in them. That was why humans submerged in darkness could only perceive such kindness as a weapon or poison. It was simply a matter of common misunderstanding befalling Tsunaga himself. Is that true? Which in that case... Was that how it was? That meant he... I managed to save someone. Someone's heart from that hell. The unnamed girl nodded with a smile. Finally, I was able to say those words to you. Finally, I've found you. The young girl that was the witch Carol, Kanamuratoko, finally proclaimed her feelings here after many long years. Yes, folks, Carol was Kanemura Toko from the original prologue. It was hard to tell because she had pomegranate eyes, and of course Toko had red eyes, so I was kind of thrown off a bit. Yeah. At the same time, a flood of tears spilled down Tsunaga Shogo's cheeks like rushing waterfalls. The salvation of Toko, or Carol, was also the remuneration of that lone Avenger. My fight is over. I managed to end it. The overwhelming emotions passing through Tsunaga purified his soul. That, their struggle against that unbelievable hell had not been pointless. At the very least, they had managed to protect one young girl's tiny vision of a beautiful world. Their souls were freed. With their journey over, the two entrusted their hearts and bodies to that Carol resembling a glowing mountain breeze. And so, in the microcosm of the abyss... Ah, how disgusting. The witch spat after taking Carol's hope within herself. I don't need this pathetic light. What are you two doing saving yourselves? I told you that I'm the one who's gonna save you. She bellowed at the treachery shown by the witch Carol, her tool. Yet, that had been an insolent act of unforgivable blasphemy before one aiming to become God. Only my agape is the truly sublime, undoubtable love for humanity. These delusions you all call bonds and love are just beautifications of the sexual desire caused by your brain secretion of intoxicating pleasure chemicals. They're just delusions caused by auto-intoxication. Come back and face reality, you junkies! Shots fired. The last witch was forcing the vast store of despair to the despair the Rose Maiden had accrued to flow back into the vessel connected to her, to Carol. Even a fragment of the agony, humiliation, and lament of the tens of thousands of deaths that had accrued over 7 years was too much for any but that supernatural witch to endure. Countless wounds erupted upon Carol's body as she sprayed abundant fountains of blood. The compressed waves of indescribable agony and malice tormented her soul. Her neck snapped and her breasts were nearly ripped off. Invisible flames charred her vagina and anus. Her limbs were yanked and severed one after another. Carol's soul was violated and blasted away along with Tsunaga's freed soul. Or fused soul, rather. What was most terrifying of all was the mental fortitude of the witch who took several thousand times more despair upon herself. Carol was nothing more than an ordinary human before that true superhuman power. The hope she held onto was far too normal and modest. She had no means of resisting that overwhelming despair. In contrast, the witch was a living god who had mastered the laws of man and the universe. One could even say she was fit to hold authority as the ruler of the world. An ordinary human was no match for her to begin with. Man is not allowed to save man. That is why Jesus was killed for your sins. Know your place. Which was all the more reason. It fell to the fool lurking behind the throne to take down the ruler. There was a reason Shimon perished before Valentinos without resistance. That was because he decided what he needed to do was not in the physical world, but here in the abyss. For that, he casted aside his unnecessary body. In other words, he was fusing his soul with the last remaining witch, just like the other witches. He had already conducted the necessary spells and rituals before Valentinos had arrived. What? The reason his plan slipped past the witch's attention was due to her curiosity with Carol. The existence and rebellion of that irregular witch had driven a hole into her complete and perfect world. That hole became a blind spot, preventing the witch from learning of Shimon's entry into the abyss or his approach. Though the real reason for it all... You never thought anything of me, did you? Of course you wouldn't notice me. Was it really just as Shimon said with his sad, self-derisive remark? Regardless, the Rose Maiden representing the witch in this microcosm, this abyss, was physically restrained by Shimon's soul. Stop this! What do you think you're doing? Do you dare betray me? Stop, it's nothing like that. I just want to be with you until the end of the world, that's all. For what purpose? She looked at him with a genuine lack of understanding, like she was looking at a madman. Shimon wore a bitter smile. That woman still hadn't figured out such a simple thing. To borrow your words, auto-intoxication, a delusion of the mind. Though in my case, even 50 years wasn't enough to sober up. For the first time, a tinge of fear dwelt within the witch's eyes as she stared at Shimon. Filthy, repulsive, disgusting. She mustered up all her will to reject him, but pinned as she was in the magical space of the abyss, the witch could not escape. So long as the Rose Maiden, the manifestation of her own soul, remained bound, she could never return to the physical world. That's not love at all. Yeah, you're probably right. I'll admit it. Though Shimon spoke of his dearest wish, his face showed little joy, even now that it was effectively brought to fruition. Oddly enough, his expression was filled with loneliness and resignation. I wanted you to accept me as an individual man, but that's never gonna happen, is it? Should I give up on it? Shimon scoffed before his face twisted with rage. The most hopeless part is the fact that I can't give up on it. Yeah, I have no intention of calling these ugly, grumbling feelings something pretty like love. It's selfish desire. And I accept that. The sight of him clinging to his desire with his mad egotism laid bare was like looking at a demon. Hey, young lady. No, there's two of you, huh? Shimon glanced at Carol with barely any interest. I'm gonna seal this abyss up. I'm gonna spend eternity with her, just me and my master. Get out of here. Stop! Stop, you traitor! You ingrateful disciple! The last witch screamed like a madwoman, but there was no hope for her to turn the situation around. The magic that made her invincible was set in stone as law here, so it was impossible for her to reverse a checkmate carried out under the same rules. Heh, sorry, but I'm ruining everything you planned! As the young boy muttered that, the sight of the homeland where he spent his futureless days crossed his mind, along with the moment he met her there. It was a bland, closed-off world where everyone scraped by to live in that poor village of poverty and decay. When the witch appeared there and spoke of her grand, lofty ambitions, it was an incredibly new experience to his young heart. It wasn't an exaggeration to say the witch had opened up Shimon's world. You were too bright for a brat living in that world. When you constantly stare at the sun up close, you become blind to all else. There was no exaggeration in that utterance, only the dark resolve of a man who cast his entire humanity inside and became a mere maggot for the sake of a singular obsession. Then, as the veil of the abyss began to close, that single couple fell deeper within its darkness, and the other couple began making their return to the physical world. Carol sensed the moment of their parting had come. There was only one vessel, one body that had been reformed by the final witch. However, there were two souls between them. Carol and Tsunaga Shogo, the man who became melded with her by devouring her flesh and blood. It was kind of sacrificial in a way. It was impossible for multiple souls to reside within one body. I'll go ahead and disappear. If only one of us can remain, then that should be you. As he spoke, Tsunaga's soul steadily began to fade as he wished. You should know why. You're already bearing. Carol nodded and extended her senses to the presence beginning to bud within her abdomen. It wasn't yet a life-bearing a soul, but it was certainly the fruit born from their acts together. Your child is right here. That was the reason none of the maggot's repulsive rapes had been able to impregnate Carol. As creatures, witches were unable to bear children from sex with humans, only by seed from maggots. Regardless, here was the exception. Carol, the sole witch to retain her previous memories and motivation. Exactly. Please take care of them. What's wrong? Tsunaga must have sensed a dissatisfaction on Carol's face before he responded with unusual bewilderment. Finally, Carol looked up at Tsunaga. Even at the very end, you really won't say any more than necessary, will you? I love you. I'm sure I'll continue loving you forever, even after you're gone. Carol spoke within a single breath, holding tears back from her voice and expression. Those strong emotions were a part of Carol that Tsunaga never knew. And not because of my memories as Toko. As I fought alongside you, I truly became willing to live and die for you. So let me say it. I love you, Shogo. Tsunaga silently took in the light of her pomegranate eyes as she made her first and final confession, and I felt something when I watched the final moments of those two. Tsunaga began to speak about Shimon and the witch left in that evil abyss. There was Shimon with his ugly selfishness and obsession laid bare. Then there was the omnipotent and therefore selfless witch with her humanitarianism. What lasts in this world isn't just words, but the actions carried out with a stronger conviction, just as her noble ideals were ruined by mere desire. What did I think of you? What did I feel towards you? If you want to know, then the actions I took should always tell you, no matter how many years pass. He paused there and looked directly at his partner, Carol. But, if you really need it, then there is something I haven't said yet. Without you, I wouldn't have been able to fight to the very end. Without you, I never would have made it this far. Carol, you were my other half in this world. Those words were enough. With those, Carol was certain she could live on. Their remaining time flowed by in silence, both man and woman exchanging their final, eternal farewell. Then the image of one suddenly blurred like a watercolor painting and vanished. Goodbye, Shogo. The fading vestiges of Tsunaga Shogo brushed against Carol's skin like an autumn wind, leaving behind loneliness. After savoring that spiritual state for a moment, Carol finally returned by herself to the human world, where a man named Tsunaga Shogo once lived. Okay, there is a little epilogue after this. Oh, we'll just skip that. Okay. So we'll go into the epilogue. It's just credits, folks. You're not missing anything. The lawless area, once known as Kanto's Pandemonium, returned to the nation of Japan after several years had passed. There were several reasons for that, but the most direct cause was the disappearance of the supernatural beings known as Disaster's Witches and the abnormal space known as the Abyss that had hovered above it. The natural disasters in female form that had boasted military might untouchable by modern weapons were said to have returned to the Abyss from whence they came. Meanwhile, there were reports around the area confirming the appearance of monsters known as maggots nearby. Unlike before, it now seemed that it was possible for them to move outside of the area that had been designated Old Pandemonium. Oh shit, they're still around. That fact left many exchanging debates on whether or not maggots and their counterparts, the witches, had truly returned to the Abyss. The suspicion of people had hit the mark. The witches had never left and still remained in the world. A group of disastrous witches had begun appearing in war zones across the world, led by the youngest looking one of them. At first, their goals were unclear, but the fact that they always destroyed both opposing armies in equal measure, along with their leader's own personal statement, made it clear that the witches' goal was world peace through armed intervention. However, scholars analyzing their behavioral patterns and their use of catchphrases believe they were strongly influenced by Japanese animation. Lol. Their savage and childish code of conduct ignored all politics of the modern world, but they also possessed the strongest military force on Earth, so their very existence caused headaches for world leaders. One could even say they were a new breed of terrifying disaster that struck the world in the wake of Kanto's Pandemonium. However, although the world faced a little more commotion and danger, the passing days would eventually make that all history as time marched on just as before. So Allison became a little terrorist, together with the lives of every individual living within it. As Igo Nobutake welcomed the new verdant season, he pushed on north with his daughter and grandchild in his private car. When he stopped, they had arrived at Kajo Prefecture's Nature Park works too. Once they arrived at the park, they walked toward a specific spot as lily flowers bloomed throughout the plateau and swayed in the cool breeze. They headed through a copse of trees, to a monument resting in a verdant field with a lovely view. The monument itself was treated as a work of art personally donated by Igo. However, for Igo and his daughter, they were visiting an unetched tombstone. It's been a long time, Shogo. She safely delivered the child a little while ago, so I brought them to meet Papa as soon as I could. Igo was still a heavy smoker after many failed attempts to quit, but even though his lips longed for another cigarette, he held off in front of his daughter and her baby. Now, as you see, she's kind of a mix between Carol and Toko. Shogo, it's your child. We have a very healthy baby. Carol was no longer a witch, and she had gained Japanese citizenship when the Igo family adopted her. Her body had been medically proven to be completely human as well. That was likely due to the resurrection caused by the witch in the Abyss. Carol's body had physically vanished when it was devoured, so it had been reconstructed using Tsunaga's human cells. He sacrificed himself for her. The girl, once known as Carol, turned her thoughts to the world that final witch dreamt of seeing. The world of love envisioned by the witch who had planned everything, but with her plans in ruins, that world never came to be. The current world continued to remain distorted and incomplete. Perhaps it wasn't driven by love as the witch had lamented. Still, she could hold faith that it contained love for two reasons. Carol looked up at the blue skies, her thoughts continued. The first reason was the existence of that couple now wandering the microcosm of the Abyss. Their end was filled with the karma of a man to a repulsive degree. Hold on. Their end was filled with the karma of man to a repulsive degree, but that was surely an extreme example of the ends to which love could drive someone. The other reason was far more self-evident proof for Carol. Nothing in this world proved it more eloquently than the face of the life entrusted to her by the man she loved sleeping soundly within her arms. The smells of early summer were still a long ways off, but the verdant breeze carried a faint hint of it as it gently ticked the baby's cheeks. The mother's lips began to hum a tender melody that might reach the child's dreams as it dozed in the sunlight streaming through the trees.
Good morning to you. Good
The carol celebrating the birth of a new life trailed off into the world, carried by the breeze. Good morning to all. And that's the end. Alright, so we want to thank you for being here in this long and personally requested hell that you put me through. I have seen things I never want to see again in my entire life. I have witnessed things that I never want to see again in my entire life. I mean, just... I didn't realize things could get so brutal. Wow. And people are telling me in Yochu's worse than this, only in the bad ends. I don't know how that's possible. But, anyway, let's go ahead and go into the extras for a minute, and I'll read some of the staff stuff, which is actually worth checking out. For one, we definitely need to read the writer. This is the guy who wrote the shit. Congratulations on clearing the game. With this, the final chapter is closed on the Tale of Maggot Bates. What kind of work was this? Probably the type of work you feel it to be right now. I believe that's how it should be, too. Or rather, wouldn't you find it odd for the writer to suddenly start talking with a straight face after the end of a story where not only limbs but eyeballs and breasts were severed off? Cut it out already. Humans aren't steel jig figures. With a sudden straight face. By the way, one of the underlying themes I vaguely kept in mind during this work was, which is more wicked, a villain seeking to save the world or a villain pursuing their own desires? The former is Jane Doe the Witch, while the latter is Shimon. But what do you think now that it's over? Both are a little of both, I see. Some of you might have also noticed something about the display of witches partway through, too. In the world of Maggot Bates, the standard definition of witch applies only to Jane Doe the Witch, the last and only witch. For that reason, the strong, erotic-looking ladies that appear in this title are not real witches, and thus their label is treated as a proper noun. By the way, it would be impossible for us to satisfy all ages requirements if we were aiming for a late night anime or such, and of course everybody would want to have Valentinos in a fucking actual anime, because there's never been a character like that before. But if we were to do it, we would have to replace several of the gory torture scenes with all ages versions. The assault scenes would have become spankings and wrist slaps. The pressure sex scenes would have been dried plum scenes or rag-wringing scenes. The dismemberment scenes would have to be deep nail screeches, mental trauma for Kitty Carol. The burning scenes would have to become enduring a hot bath, and so forth. In fact, maybe we should have released the all-ages version first, and then sold a version with adult scenes as a separate package later labeled Maggot Bates X-Rated. Oh, someone's coming. Our main protagonist, Mr. Tsunaga, is frankly the boiled-down version of my high school image of what a cool man is. Yeah, he's one of the most base characters in the whole fucking genre. Well-built and ripped, a professional at callous fighting, possesses a dark past all in one set. Yes, yes, last-action hero. The reason his personality is a bit warped and tiresome is probably because the man who wrote him has gotten old over the years since high school. The fact that he really picks up after nearly dying from a stomach shot each time makes him, in a sense, more diehard than the witches, perhaps. So with that said, I hope you look forward to my next project, Jason vs. Leatherface vs. Tsunaga Shogo, not that I'll make it. At the very start of the game, he's already triggered a splendid death flag, and all the story's ends result in his death without betraying that. But that doesn't necessarily mean those are bad endings. It's very similar to the genre of American New Cinema that used to be popular, where after the main characters have done as they please, they ultimately meet their end, but still obtain some form of salvation. A man's identity lies in his role as an organism to pass on his genes and the romanticism of living out his own ideals. The reason some well-aged men keep going as eroge writers instead of settling into stable jobs can be all cleaned up under that romanticism. In a way, it's a safety net for men. Still, as I mentioned several times in this work, those ideals only exist in our minds and are nothing but fiction. Just like the outfit which idiots can't see in the Emperor's New Clothes, or the recent topic of stap cells, unless there's a communal recognition it exists, it fails to exist. And this is why, for many years, men are always going, "You call yourself a man? I am a man!" and so questioning and asserting themselves to reaffirm their identity. Long ago, in the anime Lupin the Third, second series, The main theme had lyrics that went, "Men live in their world, much like shooting stars racing through the sky. I remember back when I was a kid with no hair on my balls, and I laughed at how nonsensical that was. But now I'm past 40 with no wife or kids and seen as a problem socially. I didn't know that. I understand it well enough. Yes, even if you're a failure biologically, you can become a fictional shooting star." Wow. That's right. This is no time to reply on Twitter and shitpost. Shooting star? That's just space debris plummeting through the atmosphere that goes well with a cyborg warrior backed by gusting winds. Back on topic. In other words, Tsunaga Shogo is one such fictional man, and he's doing everything he can not to find happiness, but to fulfill his own ideals. By the way, I borrowed the odd last name Tsunaga from the main character of Kikuchi Hadayuki's 80s fantasy novel series. To close, I consider it a badge of honor to be able to work with the talented Hamashima Shigeo-san. I was first introduced to her 3 years ago in a bar in Ikebukuro, and I was truly glad she was a drinker. Let's both take care of our livers. Thank you very much. Yeah, you hear that? All the crazy torture scenes. All the torture scenes and rape scenes were drawn by a woman. A woman drew them. So give me something, you fucking feminists. Also, I can't even measure how much the director, Akutsu Ryo-san, helped me a lot with his skill and shared his passion for creating during development. I'll watch Mad Max at home with my cat. Thank you very much. And to all you fans who purchased this game, I'd like to end by offering you my vast gratitude. Thank you very much. That was the writer. Yeah. Okay, so we have Karisu, who just doesn't have much to say. This is Arisu, who wishes to crawl under a girl's skirt to warm up since it's gotten cold lately. Hello. Alternatively, I'm accepting girls. Otokono, or Otokonoko are okay too, who'd like to join me in my stomach warmer too. If you see me on the streets, please feel free to talk to report me. I'd enjoy it very much. Speaking of recent events, I experienced a new kind of denial play from a young newspaper salesman. The man hit my intercom but didn't say what newspaper he was with or what he wanted, just silently put pressure on me to open my door. I was seriously shaking in my boots. What kind of denial play is this, Twitch Twitch? Is how I felt. There really are some good salesmen out there who can pick out a person's fetish right away, aren't there? I never thought I'd have my newspaper man make a move on me. Now please, don't any of you playing maggot baits go making moves on me either, okay? Thrilled. Excited. She's crazy. Let's see. There's a few that are just... pictures. Yeah, that one's just pictures. So that's pictures. There's just a few that we're going to do that are just pictures. This guy, I don't think he had much to say. Thanks for sticking through again. This is Supana. Thank you very much for purchasing Maggot Baits. What did you think of this tale about witches? It was a pure love story hidden by violence, wasn't it? See you again later. Okay, so here's the other one. Hashima Shigeo. Did you enjoy the game? Thank you for playing our game. He drew the Witch of the Abyss. I do want to go through... Okay, they're giving him a name, but as soon as I give you his real name, you're going to freak out. Because you're like, how the fuck did they get that guy in a hentai? This guy you're hearing may sound familiar because he's actually... Well, if you're familiar with Japanese... acting, and I need to do this correctly, but this is Yutaka Aoyama, and if you look him up, you will find that the guy's got about 50 different, 60, 70 credits. This dude played characters in Bleach. This dude played characters in pretty much everything. This is a high-class voice actor. And he literally says, "I am the one who voiced Valentino's..." Hold on, we'll have to do that again. Of course, he talks through it, but... "I'm the one who voiced Valentino's. Daku Majin Tenshu. No, that's not my real name. I'm sure you realize that. And the role of Valentino's, there were a lot of scenes where I shouted a lot, and I worked up a sweat. Studio we recorded, and it's actually a studio in town I used to use a lot, so I was able to enjoy some nostalgia while I did my job. With that, congratulations on clearing the game. Thank you very much. So yeah, they had to have him under a special name, because if he was connected with a hentai, game, that doesn't look good for you in Japan. Oh, by the way, this is the last hentai game he did. So, at least under that name. Okay, programming was Hanoi. I want to do the director, and then I think we're done. Thank you all for purchasing Maggot Baits. This time I had Kurashiki-san work on filling out the characters and story after receiving Hamashima-san's idea, so development of this game really felt like I was looking after someone else's child for me. What kind of characters would Carol and Shogo be? What direction should this game take? How do we balance the brutality in sex scenes? Are we producing enough eroticism, and how much do we need to? I thought about a lot of different things during development, and this was the result, but what did you think of it? Were you able to enjoy it? Parts of it were hard for me, but I mostly had fun developing this. In addition to providing direction, I also, wrote up the outlines for the H scenes and the torture scenes this time. Kurashiki-san asked us, please no scat, shit, or vomit this time. But I didn't notice that until after I'd already finished finalizing the orders for the event CG of several vomit scenes I put in. This was after we decided not to include the scat on-off setting option too. So while it ended up being only vomit in the end, my apologies if we made any of you feel ill. It's all my fault. I think it will probably be a while before we can make another game as brutal as this, but I hope we'll meet again in the future work. So that's pretty much all they have to say. I haven't even gone through all the voice actors yet. I'll check that out on my own time. If there's anything interesting, I'll let you know. But so far, I think... Let me look at Hanoi. Make sure that I got everything. Oh, this time I had a function that lets you jump back to a line from the backlog. I accidentally sped through a bit, but I want to go back and read it again. But I haven't saved in a while. Even in those cases, you can use this feature to easily go back. Please make good use of it, everyone. Oh, and you can't use it here. Only use it in the main game. Farewell. Huh? I was serious this time? Hey, I'm a serious person. Once every 4 years. You'll see me serious again in 2019. Must lose weight. Okay. So that's the team there. I think Takaru just has one. Yeah, I like that one. That's all Takaru gives you. That's it. There's nothing special there. Ponsuke, I think, is the same. Oh, no. Good evening. It's your living room idol, Brian Sayama. Thank you very much for purchasing Maggot Baits, a.k.a. Mago B. You bastards who didn't pay for it can all go to hell. I hope you've all enjoyed playing. Some people might consider me a dangerous man who goes firing guns off, swinging blades around, and doing this and that, but these are all just game effects. My real job is being a freelance writer. My specialty genres are subculture works, but I can essentially write anything, so everyone, please give me work! Huh? What's this turtleneck for? Actually, I lowered my collar during the story to show off, but this is my typical unconcealed appearance. Well, I suppose some is concealed. Anyway, thank you. There's no punchline. Bonus. Tsunaga-san devoted to developing a new fat method. Age unknown, unemployed, self-proclaimed ex-police officer. A picture for 1,000 laughs. Okay. So that's it. That's all we're going to do with Maggot Baits. Again, there's some scenes that we probably didn't do. Like, we go to scene gallery. Let me see. Did we see everything? We might have. Let me go... We might have seen them all. If we did, then we did. CG gallery, though. Alright, chapter 2, chapter 3. I'm just making sure we've seen everything. Yep. That's it. We've got 100% of Maggot Baits. That was all. We've seen every single H scene in the game, all the torture, everything the game had to offer. We're completely 100% done with it. That is 100% on Maggot Baits. So I hope you guys enjoyed it, and we'll find another fucked up one for you to do. A gore screaming show, Grim! Yeah, I know. Just give me a month. We're going to do one day where we'll see some bad ends, because we do need to see some bad ends if they're that fucked up. But only that day. And then the rest of the weeks are going to be regular, like, I don't know how crazy they are, but they're not this. Like, when we do Heart Dear Roommate and Exchange and Horny Bunnies, you know, nothing crazy like this. So, it'll be a while, but we will try to stuff that in. And I also am thinking about putting in Eternal Torment, which I am definitely not looking forward to playing. I paid for it, but I'm not looking forward to playing it. It's one of those things where you're like, oh, am I ready? It's like if you see one of those shock movies. You're like, I know this is going to be fucking revolting, but I can't help it. So, yeah, we'll get to that. Probably in December, which would be a hell of a month for me, by the way. So, we'll play that, and hope you guys enjoyed this one. It's the last really fucked up one we're going to do for a little while, so just give us a couple of weeks again. And we'll be back with what you guys came here for, I guess. I don't know. This one doesn't do that well. I know a lot of you guys are avoiding this, which I understand. But not everybody. There's people that are sticking around for the story. And it's worth it. That was a really good ending. I'm happy with it. So at any rate, this is the Grimlord, and I am out for Grimm's Hentai Corner. Finally, with Maggot Bates. We'll see you next time with another novel.